Allow me to begin with a slight apology for the rather boring title of my message today, Spiritual Lessons for Everybody. Not too exciting. Maybe the contents hopefully will improve. Anyway, if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn and follow along in John's Gospel, or if you have a mobile device. In a moment, Jim will be putting my main scriptures behind me, but I'll be looking at other passages too. I love following along. As we investigate briefly the story of a life-changing transformation that occurs in the life of a woman who for years had been tortured by what I call secret, inner, invisible pain. Only she knew how much she was suffering. Now, as I mentioned last week, digressing just a bit, Jean and I are very happy. Some of you were talking about this morning, to be back in Canada, back on the coast, back at church. And we did enjoy 30 glorious, sun-filled days going through England, Scotland, 20 minutes in Wales, and lots in Ireland, which we absolutely just like, wow. Anyway, we're glad to be here. And so with that, I'm going to ask you to turn for in John chapter 4, the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. Now, if I get kind of excited here, the reason being, as I've been reading this the last couple of months, I was reading on the bus and my Bible there, and I had it down. And Lydia says, is this significant? And she says, yeah, the Bible brings a lot of joy to my life. She says, me too, I'm a Christian. So I've been looking at this scripture for a number of months. I've never been to Israel. Some of you probably have more experience in Israel than I do. I've been a lot of reading though. And I would say for me personally, this has become my absolute all-time favorite passage anywhere in the Bible. Okay? It talks about these individual social dynamics that are going on between a very, very, very hurting person and the one who can help. And to me, that is so absolutely exciting. So, I've divided the passage into my talk today into two parts, verses 4 to 8, which we'll look at in a moment, which I've subtitled, May I Please Have a Drink? So with that, let's read it. John chapter 4, starting at verse 4. Now he, that is the Jesus, had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. So, at the very outset, I want to emphasize that this is a real live story. These are real people. This is not today on TV. This is not reality TV, which is, in many cases, so unreality you can't even, you know, everything is rehearsed, it's all practice, it's all choreographed, but it's reality TV. This was not bogus. This was really happening, okay? I love it. You see into the very inner heart of people. And particularly, as I mentioned, the group, the social dynamics. And so I'm hoping this morning that to be able, with God's help, to accurately, as much as possible, to reconstruct what was going on here in these social dynamics. So, a bit of an overview. Now, I'm not sure whether this is going to be helpful or confusing. We're going to attempt to reconstruct the scene here. The first thing we have, of course, is the well. There. And then we have Jesus. Now, this is intended to be a very simple, homemade diagram with the emphasis on simple and homemade. And so that's Jesus at the well. Over here we have the town. Oh, by the way, this is also not to scale. Then we have the 12 disciples. Jesus is going to be quickly sending them off into town to buy some food. So we have to give them a red arrow because they're going to be coming this way. Then we have this very cute lady over here. The woman at the well, she ends up over there. Now, I don't know how she got these long, golden, curly hair, okay? Now, she is a Samaritan. Maybe she has intermarried with some Vikings. I don't know, okay? It's possible. That's what a Samaritan was a mixed-blood Jewish person, and the Jews hated them. They weren't pure blood. So, we don't know what she looked like. Then, we have the townspeople. They don't get in the story very much, but they're over here. And, the lady at the well, she's going to be going that way. And then last but not least, this is very important, the sun. It says it was, in my Bible, it says it was the sixth hour, which being interpreted today means it was noon. It was the hottest time of the day. So, with that, let me change my page. Part one, may I please have a drink? The lesson I find here is this. This is a mouthful, but it basically condenses the story. Is that Jesus clearly shows to us that he deeply loves and cares for all people. In my notes here, I've capitalized the word love, and I've underlined it, and I've highlighted it. And he's serious about connecting with all people, with each one of us, including people particularly who are in need or who are hurting or who are lost. People he wants to connect with you. Regardless of what you're doing or what you've done. The lady with the golden hair had lots of baggage in her life, and yet Jesus really loved her. So, in short, the message today from Jesus is that his life for us, he wants to bring hope, and he wants to bring transformation into our lives wherever we're at. And not just the people who are, quote, the likable ones, the lovable ones, the people who've got it, whatever, all together, whatever that looks like. You hear that? Oh, yeah, they've got it all together. What does that look like? What about in their heart? Well, this lady was a perfect example. Jesus came for people even who were rejected by the Jews, like this lady. He came for people like that. And this is a perfect example today. You see, she had three strikes against her. You know that. In that society, she was a woman. And I don't want to say anything more, okay? Okay. You know where I'm going. Secondly, she was a Samaritan. She had this, Viking blood in her. That was despised by the pure blood Jews. That was despised. And thirdly, she was a social outcast, maybe even a reject. Well, how would I know that? Well, all the commentators that I've read have reminded me, listen, the reason that she came at the hottest time of the day, she didn't want to meet anybody else, particularly coming in the evening, meeting all the other Samaritan ladies from her town, and having all the confrontation and all the gossip and all the scorn. We learn later, of course, that she has been the wife of five husbands. Oh, maybe some of these other ladies have had to give up their husband for her. This is the reality. This is the story. This is what actually was happening. John tells us that. Why? He wants us to know. He wants us to know, it says. He says it was the sixth hour. Why? Because the sun was blazing down. Anybody in the right mind is not going to be running across town. Oops. I forgot her giant water pot in her head. There. Now that's not to scale either, because she could never carry 200 pounds of water in her head, okay? No person could do that. She had to do it to save the peace in her soul, whatever existed there. The sixth hour. In verse 4 it says, and Jesus had to go through Samaria. Politically speaking and geographically speaking, the commentators tell me he did not have to go through Samaria. Why did he have to go? He had a need. He had to meet this lady. Praise God. He needed to go there to help her. That's why he went. To help her from brokenness to wholeness. This is a similar scenario in the life of Zacchaeus. That's in Luke 19. Remember Zacchaeus? The tax collector who was hated. Well, he had three strikes against him also. Number one, it says he was very short. Not much respect. Number two, he was a traitor. He was working for the Romans, collecting taxes for them, these foreign invaders. And number three, he was very wealthy. I don't think he did that by just working for wages. He was overcharging and then pocketing it. And when Jesus went to have supper with him, he was loudly criticized. And what did Jesus say? He said, the Son of Man, he says, has come to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus was lost. The woman at the well was lost. And that's why Jesus came, to help people who don't have it all together. Well, let's just take a few moments. Well, let me just backtrack here. Most of his ministry was focused upon people who had visible needs. People particularly who were blind, crippled, lame, or had leprosy. The outward noticeable things. Jesus cared for them. But he also cares for people who have these invisible inner needs that are just as real sometimes, and they hurt just as much. He cares for those needs also. And he has compassion, like he had on this lady here. He saw it. And he says he had to go through Samaria to touch her life. Well, there he was. She's going this way, and they're going that way. And time won't allow us, but somewhere in the middle, they cross paths. And that would have been very interesting to know what they thought about her. We won't have time to get into that. That's a whole nother story. That would have been very interesting. But they get a chance to meet her again when they come back with the lunch. That would have been exciting. This story is packed full of significance. So, there she is. They've gone their way. She's here. And he's sitting by the well. So for a moment, let's ask ourselves, how did she feel when she first saw Jesus? Remember now, this is a real life story. I think she felt very uncomfortable. Yeah? Oh. You know, her blood pressure shot up. The walls of her life shot up. Oh, what am I going to do? You know, I came here in the middle of the day so I don't have to meet anybody. Is that right? Jesus made an appointment with her. He had an appointment set up. She didn't know it. And so here we are, uncomfortable. And she knew that Jesus knew who she was. The fact that she was there. She knew that he knew that she had three strikes against her. So, what does Jesus do? Well, you know, miracle of miracles. He extends kindness and grace and compassion towards her that she can feel. He begins probably with just some body language. Ever seen people in a crowd and they give you a little smile? We had a bus driver like that in North Vancouver. Oh, it brings tears. She was fantastic. I don't know, what was it about her, honey? We were riding on the bus in North Vancouver. It was a memory we'll never forget. She just, was she a Christian? I don't know. She just exuded a presence of just warmth and excitement and just by her smile. It was amazing. Well, that's Jesus here. Or maybe he just nodded her head a little bit at her. Or maybe it was a twinkle in his eye. Not a bad way. She knew, I'm being accepted. I can't believe it. I have a Jewish male. And he's accepting me as a Samaritan woman with three strikes against her. And then, that was the first impression. She's just trying to make sense of all this. She's just trying to, all of these misconceptions. And then Jesus does the unthinkable. He says, excuse me, would you be so kind as to give me a drink of water? Oh, a Jewish man never did that to a woman, never mind a Samaritan woman with three strikes against her. Would you be so kind as to give me a drink of water, please? Oh, she knew right there something was different about this man. And that just began to draw her right in. Her guard began to go down. She began to say, you know, I have to listen. He's got something to say to me. And in the midst of all this bewilderment now, you see, what Jesus had just done, asking her to do what he did, was in fact a radical violation of everything that Orthodox Judaism stood for. Don't go near a Samaritan. And above all, do not touch anything that they have touched. Huh. He's asking her to hand him a water utensil. She would have known that. He knew what he was saying, and she knew what he was saying. So, this is all taboo. So, what was Jesus trying to prove? He was trying to prove something. The answer is he is trying to communicate the fact to her, I love all the people of the world. I love them, I care for them, and I'm inviting them to come into my presence that I can transform and heal and bless their lives. That's what he's trying to say to her. Well, and through this, a rapport develops. A rapport is developing. And just when things seem to be going really well, Jesus says, go get your husband. That's part two. Ah, just when she saw a glimmer of hope, she thought, he says, go get your husband. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. Oh, so what's happened now, of course, is that she's over here and the dialogue is winding down. They've been talking for a while. He's probably had a drink from her. And the 12 disciples have gone into town and they're coming back with some food. The people in the town, nothing's happened there with them because she who came here hasn't gone back with the good news yet. And when she did, they all came pouring out of the town. You can see there's a lot of moving parts in this story. It's so exciting. So, part two. The second spiritual lesson would be this, that Jesus identifies himself. Well, let me read verses. If you're following your Bible, chapter 4, 9 and 10. The Samaritan woman said to me, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews do not associate with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God, the word gift is a key word. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So here in this passage and further on, Jesus identifies himself as the divine Son of God. I am the promised Messiah, the Son of God who came to this earth to bring hope to people who are in need. And I am the person who can give people living water if they will recognize and accept their need of receiving the gift that I want to give them. So what is this living water? What does it look like? Well, it's a spiritual term. Okay? It's not actual water like in my bottle of water there. She thought it was at first. No, it's, you know, Jesus in his ministry, he often used parables and he used metaphors. Well, this is that case. A metaphor, a word picture. Essentially, what it's talking about is a deep inner experience that begins when we express to Jesus a willingness to receive the gift of his forgiveness of our sins and to allow the Holy Spirit, as Dan prayed about, that the Holy Spirit would be touching our hearts. Sometimes it's called being born again or being saved. It's the same synonymous term. Anyway, living water, it's a gift. This was made very real to myself and to Jean being over in Ireland, visiting our very, very good friends Bernadette and Brendan. who are strong Catholics. They are seeking and searching. I say that because the Bible tells us that this is a gift. The living water is a gift. It's not something that you can work for. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. It can't be passed down from a parent to a child. You receive it as a gift by faith on the basis of His grace and mercy. So, getting back to Bernadette and Brendan. You know, I prayed and said before beloved, I said, God, I'm hoping that in addition to be able to go and tour around the British Isles for a month, would you allow me opportunities to spread your word somewhere? I prayed that a lot. Well, he did. On the bus with some of her second cousins, and particularly with Brendan and Bernadette and their children. Very gently, almost every morning at breakfast time, she said, I noticed I got up early. I get up and I see you're reading this Bible every day. To my knowledge, she has never cracked a Bible in her life. Okay? I don't say that disrespectfully or judgmentally. That's just an observation. She's never cracked a Bible in her life. She says, I'm going to have to start reading it. She says, I see you read it every day. I says, it's so important. We start talking about how we receive God's blessing, His favor, how we go to heaven. Well, she said, you know, we have to do good works every day and every week and go to church and do all that stuff. Very gently, I tried to say, the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, it's by grace that you're saved. Ephesians 2, let me read it. If I can find it. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. So I'm just prayerfully praying that God will just make this seed grow in His time. Show them a revelation that salvation, God's blessing, God's favor, God's healing upon our lives comes not because we try to work and do all this stuff, because we just say, Lord, I just want to receive Your goodness and Your forgiveness. Just touch my life. So, understandably, Jesus says, I will give you the living water and you'll never thirst again. She was not quite up to full speed. She thought, if I have a drink like that, oh man, that's going to save me a lot of problems. I won't have to come back and see all these women again. How many things that we misinterpret in Scripture, eh? We just don't see them. And then it came to a critical point. This rapport is building up. Everything is happening. She's not up to full speed. And then Jesus, as I mentioned a few moments ago, throws her a real curve. Looks like she's going to receive it. He says, go get your husband and come back. And she says, in a matter-of-fact way, I don't have a husband. And he says, thank you for being so honest. In actual fact, you don't have a husband. In fact, you've had 5 husbands, and you're presently living in adultery. She says, I see you're a prophet. Oh, it's fantastic. This 5 husbands thing throws her for a complete loop. Oh, how would he know this? I've never seen him before. Then she tries to deflect the tension off herself. She's on the hot seat and she knows it. And she says, Do you think it's right for the Jews and the Samaritans should we worship in Jerusalem or should we worship on this mountain over here? What do you think about this argument? And Jesus says, wisely, he says, the place for acceptable worship before God is in the heart of man. Ah, well, I can't use that argument anymore. Okay, she says, when the Messiah comes back, he will teach us all things. Oh, she just opened the door beautifully. And what does Jesus say? He says in verse 26, I who speak to you am he. Did you get that? When the Messiah comes, he'll show us and teach us all things. I who speak to you am he. And at that moment, two things happened. I believe she had what I sometimes refer to as a spiritual light bulb moment. The lights began to go on. Her heart began to open. And she received Christ. She did. Her life was transformed. How do we know that? Because she left her watering pot here and she ran back into town and told everybody. Remember now, she's a social outcast. She's a reject. But she says, I don't care. My life is changed. Oh, something happened dramatic, like big time in her life. Maybe we would call it what happened to the Apostle Paul. Remember him? On the road to Damascus, he had what's called a Damascus Road experience. His life was transformed and changed in a short order of time. It happened to her life too. And then, at the same time, verse 29, it says, just then as it's all finalized, the disciples, we could reverse that, and they come back. And they see Jesus, it says, talking with this Samaritan woman, but nobody said anything. They had seen her going the opposite direction and think like, what? Does Jesus know who he's talking to? He did. Oh, it's wonderful. Well, as we conclude, we ask ourselves a question. I ask myself the question, Don, how do these lessons in this scripture apply to me? How do they apply to us as a church corporately? Well, a couple of things. Number one, we can pray that God is going to open doors for us to be able to share the living water with people around us. Now, talking about living water, many of you have lived here for 5 years or more, yeah? You know what the number one problem on the coast is, right? You say, oh, it's the ferries. No, that's the problem. Lack of affordable housing. Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, but it's the number one biggest problem is a water shortage. It causes more frustration and arguments and conflict every week in the newspaper. So, well, for me, 6 years ago, I stopped watering my lawn and it all turned yellow. 3 years ago, I thought, I have to water my garden. I got all this gray water out of the sink and packing out, and I put my back out. Ah, water shortage. Well, the good news is this. I have announcement of good news. Jesus says he has an unlimited supply of living water for this coast. Okay? If anybody talks, you say, oh, I'm tired of this water shortage, just ask them, well, what kind of water are you talking about? Are you talking about the living water? We've got an ample supply of living water. Jesus said there's no shortage. Anybody who comes can drink freely. And it will rejuvenate, it will refresh, it will transform their lives. Amen. And so, I'm thinking to myself, Lord, this week, as I was praying when I was on that bus, and I had that Bible sitting down there, people were saying, I wasn't saying anything at first. People were seeing it. I was putting down little seeds, and they were seeing it. God said, I have to go visit somebody in a business over here this week. God says, go talk to him. Go talk to Tim. Okay. Lord, this week, open doors for us. And then help us with grace and gentleness to step in and to let people know that there's the living water available. And sometimes he wants us maybe even to create a door with his grace and his leading. So let's be in prayer about that. In a moment, I'll ask the music team to come and join us. So let's pray. Oh, Lord, we do thank you for this incredible story of a woman's life that was so broken. So broken. Lord, it's a microcosm of this coast. It's a microcosm of this coast. And yet, by your divine mercy and grace and love and gentleness, Lord, you and only you can bring about transformation. I thank you for Calvary Baptist Church. And even in our mission statement on the front page, it tells us that one of our main purposes is reaching out to our community with the living water, the life-giving, life-changing water. So help each of us this week, Lord, who know you, just to be agents, Lord, of spreading the water, Lord, your living water. And Father, if there's someone here maybe who's never tasted your water, your living water, Lord, just remind them that you love them and you want to have an appointment with them, Lord. Thank you for your goodness now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, music team.